Welcome to the Church of England weekly podcast. In this week's edition, we hear from Julian Hubbard about resourcing ministerial education, which forms part of the Renewal and Reform Initiative.
For dioceses, they mean more flexibility and ability to choose the range of kinds of pathways that candidates will follow. It's a better way also to help individuals, so dioceses will be working with individuals to help them make choices.
The next teaser trailer from Just Pray is released.
I feel constant companion all the time, and I know I'm never ever alone, and I think even in the troubled times it's better for me because I know that somebody else is there to pick me up when I need it.
And the new Bishop of Sherborne was consecrated at Westminster Abbey on the 24th of February.
I think it will be hitting the ground running, but it will be getting to know the people and places of Dorset. I'm really looking forward to it.
The latest teaser film for the Church of England's project Just Pray follows Brenda's story. Being released each week over Lent, the teaser films look at members of the Saturday Gathering, an outreach project based in Halifax, as they talk about coming to faith and their struggles in everyday life. Third in the series of pieces looking at Psalm 22, Brenda told us how she found God at the night shelter.
My mum passed away 18 months ago. And my dad and my sister started to volunteer at the night shelter and asked me to come along and help fill in some paperwork. Saturday Gathering was going on, a meeting for worship. And my dad said, go upstairs and have a look, and there's a worship upstairs. And I said, I'm not going upstairs, a lot of Bible bashers. I don't want to see what's going on up there. But I came up and Kath and Angus were our worship leaders. Kath was singing Amazing Grace. And I was just leant against the back wall. And it was just like an overwhelming love that I've never, ever felt before. And I just, something inside just changed. And I just felt this almighty warmth and acceptance. And it just brought me to my knees. And I think that was a time when I knew I was baptised with the Holy Spirit. It's the first time I've ever felt the presence of God like that, ever. And I've never felt it since. I've always felt, I feel close to God, but never as close as I did that night. And I just know that God had wrapped me up in his arms and just held me there for a while. And it was just unexplainable, really, because I've never felt like that before and I've never felt it since. And I know that was my baptism that night, and I know it. For me, my whole life's changed from my faith. I can't actually remember what I was like before I found my faith. I was very lonely in comparison to what I am now. I feel a constant companion all the time, and I know I'm never, ever, ever alone. And I think even in the troubled times, it's better for me because I know that somebody else is there to pick me up when I need it. And I think that as a Christian, you've got your own convictions as well. So what was correct for you previously, it's not correct for you anymore. And that's not because you've been judged by other people. That's because you're judging yourself by God's standards. And you feel like you've got your own convictions, and it's not a case of God judging you while you're trying to please God. It's a case of God saying to you, it's okay in your own time. You'll get there in your own time. And that's, for me, it's like a child trying to walk. You know, you're holding your arms out for your baby to come to walk to you. And he's trying so hard and you just fall down now and again. But eventually you'll get there. And that's how I feel. Just like a child trying to please your father. I talk to God like I'm talking to you. I don't get on my hands and knees and pray. I talk to him like I'm talking to a person. And I was driving my car down Pelham Lane, and I had the windows wound down because it was a really nice warm day. And something had really got to me, really angered me. And I was yelling at God. I was like, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And this guy that was next car over to me had his windows down, and he looked at me and said, what are you talking about? What are you doing? I said, I'm talking to God. I'm just out the window. Quite embarrassing, really, but I do that all the time. So I didn't realise he could hear me. I will have just conversations where I'm just, like, talking to you now. And I could be washing the dishes or driving the car or taking the kids to school. It doesn't matter, I just talk to God all the time. I think the way I pray is very intimate. Like a daughter talking to a mother about boys, and it's quite intimate and it's quite private. So when I pray, it's very intimate and very private, and it's things that it's my reverence to him, and it's things that I wouldn't necessarily say aloud, that, like, I suppose you could call it like a confession sort of thing, really. You know, when I'm praying silently or when I'm praying, it's very personal. And I tell him things that I wouldn't tell anybody else. Or reformation. You know, please forgive me because I've done something wrong. And I know you know I've done something wrong. Yeah, life's not straightforward. You know, I mean, a Christian, we still have the same problems. We still have a normal, mundane things that we've got to deal with. But I think it's just a case of we've got that added support in his faith. You know, we know that there's something bigger than us out there, and we know that we've got that support and we've got that presence. And that the problems that we've got, we can just take it to the Lord. Before faith, I just can't imagine what my life was like. I've had a lot of time these past 2 years, really, and a lot of doubt. And it's quite a scary, dark place, really. I really can't imagine what my life would be like without faith. Very dark place. And I don't think I could ever imagine a time where I wanted to go back to that.
To watch the teaser film and to find out about other stories, visit www.justpray.uk. Julian Hubbard, Director of Ministry for the Church of England, spoke to us about the recent discussions taking place at General Synod over resourcing ministerial education, which is part of the wider Renewal and Reform Initiative. Julian started by telling us what Synod was actually voting on at the February sessions.
It was voting on two things, really. One is the specific funding arrangements for how the money the diocese set aside for ministerial education is allocated and spent and will be in the future. But more widely, it was about an agenda to increase numbers of ordinands and ministry in general, and linked to a wider programme of renewal of discipleship and ministry, which the church is trying to pursue to help the church to grow.
And what do these proposed changes actually mean?
For dioceses, they mean more flexibility and ability to choose the range of kinds of pathways that candidates will follow. It's a better way also to help individuals, so dioceses will be working with individuals to help them make choices. It also gives dioceses a chance to put their resources into the kinds of training that they see as being important for their mission going into the future. But for candidates, it means a wider range of choice, really, and also a chance to think earlier on in their discernment process about what kinds of training are going to suit them best, what kind of ministry they envisage, what sort of preparation will help them most. And it will offer them flexibility and choice to meet their sense of vocation with the kind of training that we offer.
So how will the mixed mode or context-based training sit alongside residential training?
Well, there are three forms of training. I mean, non-residential courses are also a very important part of the mix. And at the moment, mixed mode is very popular. I think what these changes will mean is that it will make it easier for dioceses, I think, to help candidates make choices about the kind of training that's most appropriate for them. From the candidate's point of view, actually, there won't be much change, I think, in terms of the arrangements. It'll mean there'll be more opportunity, I guess, for candidates to discuss what kind of training suits them best and then make a choice between the various forms that are available.
And can you give an example of how it might work for someone who has just been selected for ministry?
OK, well, let's think about someone in the new system who comes to see a director of ordinands and thinks about what they might want to do. Whereas at the moment, there isn't often much conversation about the form of training. In future, we expect that it will be quite a different picture, that from very early on, the process of discerning about the kind of ministry that people are looking for will be associated with discussion about what kind of training pathways are most appropriate. So for someone just set for ministry now in the old system, no doubt they'll have had good advice. But in future, people are going perhaps a little further back now, who are thinking of ordination and talking to DDOs. We want them to have a more constructive conversation earlier on about the sort of pathways that they'll be following later. But the same options will still be available, the same range of opportunities for those who are being selected for ministry now as have been in the past. So there's no disadvantage for the new arrangements. I think only advantage is that it makes people think harder about what they're being called to by God, how they can best be prepared for that, and what kind of ministry they envisage.
Finally, why is this so important for the church?
It's important for the church, I think, because the most valuable resource we have is our people, and we need to offer them the best possible opportunities for training and learning as they prepare for ministry. It's also important in terms of our aim as a church to increase the number of ordinands by 50% from 2020 onwards and sustain that for a decade. What these new arrangements mean is that we have the basis to provide for that growth in a way that the church can afford and in ways that are targeted to the church's need. There's a significant need to replace the number of those who are retiring, and that rate of retirement will accelerate over coming years. There are other ministerial needs, of course. This is not the only part of the picture, but it's a vital piece of the jigsaw for the church going forward that we have enough clergy alongside other ministers to meet the needs of the mission of the Church of England.
And to stay up to date with the latest from Renewal and Reform, you can like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/renewalandreform. You can also follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/renewalreform. The new Bishop of Sherborne, the Right Reverend Karen Gorham, spoke to the Salisbury Diocese Director of Communications after a service in Westminster Abbey this week in which she and Canon Michael Harrison were consecrated as bishops.
People from across the diocese came to Westminster Abbey as the Right Reverend Karen Gorham was consecrated Bishop of Sherborne.
It's so enjoyable.
I thought it was very uplifting, Gerry, and I thought that the Archbishop of Canterbury did a particularly good job.
We're greatly looking forward to meeting Karen and working with her to Dorset, and educating her in our funny little ways down there.
It's been an absolutely wonderful service, and I'm really looking forward to working with Bishop Karen in her role as Warden of LLMs in the diocese.
I caught up with Bishop Karen after the service.
It feels really good. It's been a really good service. Lovely to see lots of people from all over the place, and many of the places I've served in the past, and it was just a joyous occasion.
And you said the service was a joyous occasion. Anything in particular going to stick in your mind in the long term?
I think the fact of everyone's prayers. I felt very prayed for during the service. It's good to see a mixture of people from where I'd served in the past, but also the people that I'm going to serve in Dorset and in the Salisbury Diocese.
Now, can you tell me a little about your pectoral cross and your crook?
Right. My crook's a Dorset shepherd's crook. It was made by a Dorset crook maker just outside Sherborne. St Bridget's cross, St Bridget of Kildare, wove a cross out of straw to explain the Christian story. So I wanted something that would remind me to go on sharing the Christian story as I walk around Dorset and as I meet people and as I explore the office of being a bishop.
And what do you expect the first couple of days in the job to involve?
I think it will be hitting the ground running, but it will be getting to know the people and places of Dorset. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @C_of_E. Thanks for listening.